Over the past couple of weeks, I have read and reread, reread and reread what I'm about to read to you. I've been dealing a lot lately with relationships. Relationships with others, our relationship with the Lord, the significant points that God made and the Lord made concerning our relationships, especially to Him. The whole purpose of the covenant series of covenant sermons was to help us in our relationship with the Lord. John chapter 15, Jesus deals with our relationship with Him. He's speaking to His disciples that have followed Him. He's nearing the end of His life. And He sees what they cannot see. The future. He sees the time that they're going to be crucified upside down, swords run through their body, believers will be fed to lions and other wild beasts. And He knows that when they face the end of their life, they're going to need to hear a real word of encouragement to help them get through it. Life is not always filled with pleasures. Sometimes we face uncomfortable situations and we're put in a place where we feel like we cannot go on. Even as believers that love the Lord, there's times when you feel like the demand is greater than your ability to pay. And you think, will I ever make it to the end of this struggle? Jesus said this, in John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what's the next three words say? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Hey, underline that. Bearing fruit, but He still purges it. That it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 15, henceforth, from this point forward, from right now, henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. He is the vine. We are the branch. Whatever's in the vine is in the branch. Our only job as the branch is to stay connected. That's all that it takes. Just stay connected. If we stay connected, every supply that we'll ever need, we'll find it in the vine. Sometimes I think we get to the place where we misunderstand our position in the Lord and we try to be the vine instead of the branch. We feel like we have to somehow be the God of our own life. Have to solve our own problems and heal our own bodies and have to find our own deliverance. And somehow we have to explain to the world when we stand there and claim that we've asked God and know God and that He can do all things and nothing's happened yet. And we feel like that we have to stand like a substitute teacher and give an explanation for what's going on in our life. To a world that looks on in dismay and wonders what is happening. Your problem today is God's problem. Your burden today is God's burden. And by the way, everything that the vine has is available to us. We are blessed today not because of who we are, but because of who we are in Him. Everything that you need, you will find in the vine. I'm blessed today because I'm a blessed branch out of a blessed vine. He's blessed, therefore I'm blessed. My healing is in the vine. My promises are in the vine. My strength is in the vine. My future is in the vine. My salvation is in the vine. Every need that I have is supplied by the vine. And when we understand that He supplies the need and our strength is in Him, that's when we understand our rightful relationship to God. If you bear no fruit, He says, don't waste your energy trying to fix something that doesn't work. If it's dead, if it bears no fruit, He'll just take it away. See, there's two principles here. One is allowing us to give to God because we want to. The other is God taking away and we don't have any say in it. Has God ever taken away anything from you? I do think you need to hear this. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, He might just take it away. If you have certain things in your life that you're using as excuse not to live for God and not to bring forth fruit, He might just take it away. But then what He doesn't take away, He purges. He cuts back. He prunes. Now here's the thought that a lot of people have a hard time accepting. You can be a blessed branch attached to a blessed vine and bringing forth good fruit, and you might have to give it up. Brother Hyde come to me a few days ago, not knowing what I've been praying about and studying about. Through the ice storm, we had a lot of damage to our trees around. Some of the trees on the property here of the church, they need cut back. They need pruned. I talked to a man that that's what he does. He prunes back trees and ornamental trees and knows a lot about them. And he said, now, we can prune those back, but one thing you're going to have to understand, they won't be as pretty come spring. They won't look as good. Are you hearing me? Whatever it is, God, whatever it is you want to do to me and through me, you go ahead and do it as long as I look good. We like to look good as Christians. Now, Lord, go ahead and bless me as long as my mascara doesn't run. Because I like to look good. Would you help me preach this morning? Lord, go ahead and pour out a blessing on me as long as I don't make ugly faces when I shout. And people won't make fun. Hey, I'll guarantee you, when you get blessed, there'll be folks around you make fun of you for the way you look and the things you do. But the truth of the matter is they're just jealous because they've never been blessed. I like to see God turn them loose sometimes. See how they act when they get in the Spirit of God. They might make funny faces and they might do crazy things too, but that's all right. Don't worry about how you look. Worry about the fruit that God's going to bring into your life. Because God said, I'm going to bring you from a place of fruit to much fruit to more fruit. God wants us to be abundant in the blessings that He's given to us. sometimes to get a hold of. You got to give up what you've already got. What do you mean, Lord? I worked hard for this. Got a few grapes on my vine. What do you mean you want to cut me back? We have no problem with spiritual addition. It's a subtraction that bothers us. Multiplication, we don't have any problem with. Division's another story. Oh God, don't take away what I've already got. I've got a few grapes, and next year I'll still have a few grapes, and the next year I might have a few more. Who knows how many I'll have at the end of life. God says at the end of life you may have nothing. So what God's going to do in His almighty power and grace to us is take away from us something that seems near and dear to us. Oh, I feel God now. But you understand this. We like to go forward. We don't like to go backwards. But sometimes we go backwards for God to give us the greater blessing that we cannot see right now. God's saying, I know you've been blessed. I know you've had good times. I know that you're thankful for what I've done. But there's greater things in store. And I've got to get you ready for those things. I've got to cut away what seems good to let something better come to pass. So he starts cutting back. And you know what you do? What the average person does. Tries to hold on to the things you can't keep anyway. Because God wants it. He wants it cut back. Hold on to relationships that you need to get over. Things that you need to get through. You're still holding on to it. You're hoping some way, miraculously, it'll come back, but it's not coming back. Oh, I don't know if I'm preaching to all, but I know I'm preaching to some. Something has been taken away, and you still think it's there, and you're saying, God, I don't want to open my hand, and I don't want to give that to you, because maybe it'll be like it used to be. But it's not going to be that way anymore. But what you have to do, you just have to give it to God. Somebody has failed you and they damaged your relationship. And instead of you letting go of it and going on in God and not getting bitter, you're holding on to that thing and trying to say, I don't want to give it to you, God. I want to keep it to myself and hold on to it. And maybe it'll be like it used to be, but it can't be like it used to be, but it can be better. Money you're trying to hold on to, terrified of, you miss church to make. You just hold on to it. I can't give it up. I can't be a blessing to somebody in need. I've got to hold on to that. Then one day you'll die. Your kids will fight over it. Raid your house before you're in the ground. I am preaching this morning. You just might as well go ahead and give it up now. Bless your kids now. Thank all three of you for the amen. Just give it to God now when it counts. You know when He's dealing with your heart about things you have to give up. There's some things you have to give up and some things you have to get over. Preacher communicated with me a few days ago and was disturbed because people had stopped supporting his ministry. Howard, if I took into account everybody that used to support evangelistic outreach and quit, I wouldn't have a friend in this world. I don't know why God moves like He does. I do know there's seasonal blessings. There's people that God sends into our life for a while. And then God sends them to somebody else for a while. What do? I bless God for the time they're there when I needed them the most. I don't sit back and worry about did I do something to offend them or do they love me or don't they love me. Some of you are at that place
where you look at friendships and you say, we used to be so close and we used to go out together so much and now it just seems like we're not together anymore. Has it ever occurred on you? Maybe it's just because you're busy. Maybe it's because someone doesn't have time. Maybe that's the only reason for it. But instead, you're not willing to give it up, are you? You're going to hang on to it and say, I've got a little bit. I've worked hard for that little bit. And if I give that up, I won't have anything left. Sometimes you just have to give it up. Sometimes you have to trust Him when you can't trace Him. You're looking at it and you're saying, it makes no sense from where I'm at. But He's trying to take us from one glory to another, to another. From one faith to another, to another. And then finally, when we reach the place where we're willing to give up and say, God, I don't care how bad I look. I don't care what others think. I'm not talking about being rude or crude. I'm talking about having a right relationship with God. Lord, I think I'll just give it up and trust You. Go ahead and cut me back. Hallelujah. Go away. Go ahead and take away the things that's near and dear to my heart. Just take them. But Lord, You didn't say they were to keep. You said they were to borrow a little while. They're Yours anyway. Because, Lord, when I do that, my relationship changes. Because when He purges us, henceforth, from that time forward, we are no longer servants. We are friends. Don't you know there's a difference between the housekeeper and a friend? Don't you know there's a difference between a mailman and a friend? There's lots of people that come into your life that they're a blessing in your life and they meet a need and they serve a purpose. But you can't really say you know anything about them and they're your friend. But listen, He said, you've changed the relationship. You allowed me to take away and trusted me when I took away. And I've got news for you. Because you did that, you're my friend. You're chosen. What do you mean I'm chosen, preacher? You're chosen. Now wait a minute. That bothers me when God says, I have chosen you. That's not the way it happened, Cal. I'm the one that went to church. I'm the one that got ready to go. I am the one that entered inside the doors. I'm the one that heard the message. I'm the one that came to an altar. I'm the one that prayed to God. I'm the one that confessed my sin. I'm the one that asked the Lord to come into my life. I'm the one that He saved. I did that. Didn't I? And God says, no. I'm the one that gave you the car to drive. I'm the one that moved on somebody's heart to build a church for you to be in. I'm the one that put the desire for you to be there. I'm the one that sent the Holy Ghost to that service to touch your heart. I'm the one that called the preacher to preach the gospel. I'm the one that brought the musicians together to play the songs. I'm the one that put the life in your body, the breath in your lungs. I'm the one that told your body to stand up. I'm the one that told your ankles to move. I'm the one that heard your cry. I'm the one that gave my son. I'm the one that saved your soul. I have chosen you. Oh, glory. Chosen. Well, you're blessed, preacher, because I've been chosen. He's the one that calls us and He chooses us. You didn't have to do that, but you're chosen. And now, here's the problem. You have all of these troubles and all of these trials and you keep coming to the altar praying the wrong thing. You keep saying, God, make me bigger. You ought to be saying, God, make me better. You chose me. A lot of things have fallen in our life that we didn't choose. But Lord, if you let it come, and if it purged me, when it came my way, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you chose me, Lord. Thank you for trusting me, God. You chose me. Now here's the problem. We only think that preachers are chosen. We only think that teachers are chosen. Great preachers that are chosen. Great Bible teachers that are chosen. We think that singers are chosen. Thank God for the singing. But you know, God's chosen a lot of people in our midst to do things that I have to be honest. I don't know if I could have taken it. I don't know how I'd have responded to it. But I guess that's really not the important thing. He didn't choose me. He chose them. And somehow, through all of that, they reached a place where they understand God has chosen me. And hallelujah, I passed the test. Do you know God chooses people to raise children with special needs? Hallelujah. You're chosen. You were picked by God because God knows that when the time comes that the purging would come, you could take it. You could handle it. Maybe the preacher would have had a nervous breakdown, but bless God, you could handle it. You could take it. You're chosen. Etta's here this morning. She's got a precious little girl. Beautiful little girl. Etta, He chose you for that little girl. Jody's here this morning. Two children already in heaven. Jody, I don't know if I could have took that. But He chose you. Rosie raised her kids. Two husbands passed. I don't know about you, but I think she's done a great job with her kids. By the way, kids, you've got a great mama. Rosie, I don't know if I would have been sick in body and God took my mate home and then another mate. I don't know how I could have handled the situations in life, but God chose you, sis. Chosen. Reach over there and tell her, Larry. Kiss her on the cheek and say, Mama, you're chosen. Reach over there and kiss your mom on the cheek and say, you're chosen. Chosen. Not just a nobody, chosen. Rachel, I know you've had hard times and oh, we've missed you so much and thrilled my heart to see you in the service. And only God knows the things you've gone through and you've never complained one time, but Rachel Coleman, you're chosen. You're chosen. You're doing what maybe nobody else could do. You're there to care for your loved one and to help them. You're chosen. Norma, reach over and hug her neck. Tell her she's chosen. Chosen. I don't know why God allows the things to come that comes into our life, but we're chosen. Some of you have had relationships that you think it's somehow your fault and you can't get over it and you're wrestling with it and the divorce came and it was ugly and you feel like life is over. You don't think you're going to be able to make it, but look at yourself. Glory to God. Here on a Sunday morning, sitting in the house of God, you're chosen. You've not messed up, and life is not over. You're chosen. You're chosen. Would you ever hug your mom and say, you're chosen? Nobody else could have been as good a mama to you as what she's been. Marcia, I don't know what it's like. Have a boy that's been in prison. I don't know what that's like. But I know you're chosen. You're chosen. Chosen. Your mark didn't just happen to get that little boy in your life one day. God looked down through time and said, here's a couple that even when things go wrong and something has to be taken away, she's still going to be able to come and sit on the front seat and pop up in the middle of a song or a sermon, wave her hand at God, say, thank you, Lord. I'm chosen. Maybe they never heard the gospel. Maybe they never seen the love of God. You're chosen. Sissy's had hard times. Life hadn't been fair. I know that. Janet, you are chosen. Look in there. Two sisters get a hug each other and say, you're chosen. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I feel God this morning. Chosen. We're not just spiritual hobos trying to make it through life the best way we can. We're chosen. I don't have a clue what I'll go through between here and heaven, but I know one thing. God has chosen me. Preacher, how do you make it when it seems like everything is coming in around you? I tell you how you make it. You cling on to the vine. You say, all I have to do is stake it next to, bless God. All I have to do is hold on to Jesus. I'm chosen. And God's going to get me through. Some of you, it's blessed with wonderful mates. Some of you have been chosen to live with somebody that nobody else could live with. Hey, I am preaching now. This old ungodly world we've got, they come along and they'll say, I tell you what I'd do. I couldn't live like that. You ought to get rid of that jerk. That's why God didn't choose you. God knows you couldn't live with that jerk. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You are chosen. It's not by chance or by accident, but here's where the problem comes, though. The problem comes through this. I'm coming to a close. I'm trying. I promise. The problem comes to this, though. Sometimes you work so hard staying connected, being blessed, going through the battles, that by the time the abundance of fruit comes, you are so exhausted, tired of fighting, that the blessings come. And you can't even see it or realize it. God's given it to us, and we're just so tired from fighting to get it. But now it's come. We can't even appreciate it like we ought to. It's just all you can do to make it from day to day. And here's the problem. Everybody else sees you're blessed, but you can't see it. Hey, you can tell if you're sitting by a blessed person or not. Can you say amen? Amen. If you're sitting by somebody blessed today, you know it. Hey, and if you're sitting by somebody hateful today, you know it. Know that too. Boy, everybody puts a smile on their face now. Preacher's got a sermon this morning. You know it. Sometimes they're blessed and they don't know it. Do me a favor. Let me prove to you you're chosen. There's probably, I don't know, this morning, I'm guessing 475, maybe close to 500 come through these doors. Do me a favor now. Do this. Look all around this congregation. Look everywhere. Look all around. Everybody, look. Now, let me ask you something. Did you see another you anywhere in this place? Isn't that wonderful? There's not another you anywhere here. You're the only you there is. You know the blessed part of that is? I have absolutely no competition. Because I'm the only me. Chosen. I think you need to sometimes get to the place where you understand. This thing's cost me too much to give up on it. If you pay enough of a price for the fruit, and if it costs you enough, God's going to say, the tears will come, but you'll shout through your tears. The pain will come, but you'll praise me for your pain. The heartache will come, but you'll still bless my name. Because it costs too much to get the fruit, to give up on it. I think we've got some folks today that instead of saying, Lord, make me bigger, you need to come and say, Lord, make me better. I'm so glad He chose me. As terrible as you feel and as unworthy as you feel and you feel like things have been taken away, He chose you. He chose you. Don't you mess it up now. Don't go crazy. Don't lose your sense of bearing. You're connected to the vine. And the vine will give you what you need. Don't you lose it now. He knows what He's doing. You need to come and say, Lord, help me to trust You, even though I can't trace You. I'm going to believe You. You're the vine. I'm the branch. Oh God, I thank You. Hallelujah. Chosen. I'm chosen. You chosen? Three of you chosen. More than that, are you chosen? Amen. Chosen. Chosen. I didn't choose Him, He chose me. Chosen. He chose you. Don't get over it. Don't get beyond it. He chose you. Now, if you're in the purging process, you say, God, You've just taken me from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. I'm chosen and I'm going to follow You. Let's stand together, Brother Howard comes, whatever he has for a soul. Oh, friend, there's folks here today that you need to mind God. You need to come. Chosen. He's chosen you. He doesn't want to keep what doesn't work. Sometimes you cut back good fruit to bring more fruit. But you are chosen. There's Christians here today. You're in the purging process. He's pruning you back and you don't feel chosen. Look at me. You are chosen. He's still the vine. It may not look good this morning. And it may not feel good when it cuts you back. But you're still chosen. Just come and tell Him, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust You. Folks should already be on the altar. Folks should already be on the altar. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to trust You. I'm chosen. Bless your heart, honey. Brother, You're chosen. You're chosen. Bless His holy name. Chosen. 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 What it does because we're chosen. God's chosen. Most folks couldn't take care of a brother in a wheelchair. God's chosen. You need to come. He's called you. You're chosen, young person. You can do what I can't do. Some of you don't know Him. You're not connected. You need to get connected this morning. You need to be a part of the vine.